This is CliffCentral.com.
It's Nico and Vines in your arms. CliffCentral.com. Good morning, everybody. It's 7:04. Your day off to a good start. Is your Monday treating you well so far?
This crispiness going on.
Yeah, there is. Listen, how's your week looking? I like to take Monday and then you kind of plot out your whole week. And you see, you find one or two things that you're really excited to do in that week. And then that makes the whole week great. Make the whole week great again.
Okay. It was good up until you said that.
No, it's true.
That's a good way to actually look at it. I've never thought of it that way.
Definitely. So I've got a lot of meetings today. And then I've got some event I have to do at 1. But Tuesday looks awesome at this stage. It looks really quiet.
Is it because it's empty?
Tuesday and Friday are going to be such great days. I say that with trepidation because you know what happens is they fill up.
Yes.
Monday, you never really know what's happening because on Monday, all those things that you need to do start coming in. And then before you know it, your week is full.
Okay, please work as our life coach for the next 2 minutes. Okay. What do you do if you don't have something to look forward to?
You make something up.
Okay.
You say you put in, I'm going to go and shop for something I really want.
Yes.
Or you say, I'm going to eat something I really want on that day. Or you make, you just do something. You say, I'm going to rearrange the furniture in my house on that day. Something to keep you happy.
Okay.
But you find there's got to be a thing. Ben. Sorry, Ben is over here.
If you don't have a thing, Sia, then this little test will make you reassess how you conduct your life.
Oh, you guys are so deep.
So what's your thing
today?
This week?
Well, obviously Thursday is all our thing because the movie premiere.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Yes.
That's a good one.
I thought you were going to say because of the bounce. I thought you were going to talk about your show. We're looking forward to your show.
That's a bit self-indulgent, yeah, don't you think?
You sounded a bit like Garfield there.
No, I'm looking forward to so much this week. Just not the drone bill. Outside of that, there's so much to look forward to.
But by the way, like, who fixes it if we aren't so...
There's this
like
room.
Authorized or whatever the case is. So
you know where you get your phone fixed, right? So if you smash your phone, you won't because you've just covered it in fast food. But like you go to a place where there's this beautifully lit room, lit as in illuminated.
Not lit as in the cool kids lit. Yeah.
And they fix everything in there.
Okay. Really?
So you trust these people, even though...
No, I trust no one at this stage. But I tell you what, after crashing it, I'm in better hands.
Yeah.
And I can't just... Yeah.
Oh, right. No.
Here are a couple of messages this morning that we need to get to before we go into the news. The first one is a caution for Ben. Look what happened to Hannibal Buress's career after he outed Bill Cosby. Lay off Will Smith, Ben. What's going on there?
How about I just stick to the truth and you guys can just lay off your hate?
Wait a minute. Are we talking about how Will Smith was the one who killed Tupac? Are we still talking about that?
Of course we are, because it's the truth. We'll stick to the truth in this show.
Ben, they're going to come and get you.
Who?
The same people who got Will Smith all those great jobs in Hollywood. He's part of the conspiracy, Ben.
Well,
be careful.
They can try find me. I live a very dark life.
Ben, you normally say smart stuff, like I must say, but that is ridiculous.
No, it's not, Amanda. Like I said to you on Friday, join the dots. It's obviously Will Smith. I didn't even know why I've got to repeat myself.
Ben, I wanted to know, you crashed your drone at golf.
Also correct, yeah.
Was it Dave's fault? Was he talking too much or annoying you?
No, this is before Dave.
Right,
this is before Dave even got into it.
Dave.
No, Amanda, unfortunately, I had obstacle avoidance on, so maybe that made me a little bit too confident, and I didn't hear any beeps, didn't tell me anything. Suddenly, it just hit a twig. Oof. It was just a moment. It was a small moment where I just didn't concentrate the way I should have.
Tick.
So, by the way, how did golfing with Dave go?
Pretty good, actually.
Was he civilized?
Yeah, he was cool. Like he's
did
not
he wear pants?
Yeah. Was he sober?
He wore pants. He was sober enough.
Sober enough.
Yeah, look, Dave's a good guy. And he's entertaining.
Okay, so you had fun.
Yeah, and our other two guys have played with the cool guys, too. So, it was a nice day of golf.
I think sometimes there are glimmers of hope with people. Case in point, meeting his son on Friday. Like this little kid looks like a well-rounded individual.
It also gives relatively. You. It also gives you indication that Dave might have had sex with a good-looking woman at some stage in his life.
At least once.
Because that was my big take out of meeting his son.
Do you think he knows all of his children?
Mm-mm.
There might be kids out there that are his that he doesn't know about.
Yeah.
Well, I think he stopped performing in Brakpan for that very reason.
Okay. Then a lot of people saying they are really enjoying Sia's... his iPhone cover is ridiculous. Yeah. But a lot of people like it.
Adjectives need to change in that statement, and then we'll be fine.
Ben, is a bogey good or bad, says Ashley.
Well, in Jordan Spieth's case yesterday, from the driving range, it was pretty good, but generally, no, it's not good. You're one over the par. If you get a double bogey, it's even worse.
Okay.
Oh.
Ashley says, because the depression hits your brain, that's the tool you use to assess the good in your life, and your brain just can't go there. It won't compute. It values all the good things in your life as meaningless. We were just talking about depression earlier. I actually have something incredible for you to listen to, Chester Bennington's Isolated Vocals. Have you heard this?
Mm-mm.
Oh, man. Wow. When you hear this guy singing without any instrumentation, it's phenomenal.
Hmm.
What a talent. As we've been saying, you know, over the last few days, this guy's really, really super talented.
Why is everything so heavy? Holding on. There's so much more than I can carry. I keep dragging around what's bringing me down. If I just let go, I'd be set free. Holding on. Why is everything so heavy? You say that I'm paranoid, but I'm pretty sure the world is out to get me. It's not like I made the choice.
How's that, huh?
Jeez.
Pretty damn good. Yeah, what a talented dude. All right, let's get into some news with Mubs. Let's see what's going on in the world. Mubs, over to you.
Well, a lot of tributes coming through over the weekend after opposition parties paid their respects to well-respected government spokesperson Ronnie Mamoepa, who passed away at the age of 56. He died on Saturday night, having spent several weeks in hospital after a stroke. He had spent 5 years on Robben Island during the 80s. And served in the ANC as well as various departments in government. And at the time of his death, he was the spokesperson to the deputy president, Cyril Ramaphosa.
Didn't you just speak to him a little while ago, Sia?
That's exactly what I thought of as soon as I heard of his news. We were emailing because I'm trying to get the deputy president in here. And it was just a conversation, and it's like how crazy things can change. And
do we know anything about how he died or why?
I mean, all I've seen is how he had been in hospital over the last several weeks.
Following a stroke.
After that stroke. So it would seem that, you know, complications rose from that.
So he wasn't that old.
56 is not old these days. It's really not old.
Wow.
So Cope's Musiwa Lekota, among the many people who spoke very highly of the late Ronnie Mamoepa, saying he was serious-minded, he studied and learned, and when we came out of jail, he continued to excel. He'd been an excellent example of how adversity could be turned into an advantage. So, I suppose what we wait for now is details around his funeral arrangements. But yeah.
Okay, yeah, that was quite shocking news. It was also a very controversial weekend. I don't know if you saw the apologies going around.
Yes, yeah. You know, I don't know which apology you're talking about, but someone tweeted me, I think it was on Sunday morning, asking me what Joey Razdeen had done, and
that
I said,
was the one,
I don't know. And so I had to, you know, do a bit of digging because I honestly didn't know what had happened here.
Yeah, Joey Razdeen apparently did some, routine, but he's a comedian. Let's remember, this is what he does for a living. He makes jokes about everybody.
Mm.
And everybody's always so careful to not make jokes about Muslims because they know they'll get blown up. So that basically has created a category of prejudice against Muslims, if you ask me. Because not all Muslims are violent and not all Muslims want to kill you for a joke. And you would assume that's the correct thing for any sensible person to say about this. So Joey Razdeen, who is Muslim, at least nominally, he came in here the other day, we were talking about it, remember?
Mm-hmm.
So he cracks some joke about the companions of the Prophet Muhammad. And then the Muslim community just lose their shit.
Mm,
they demand apology. They threaten his life. He's hiding at the moment. It's very, very upsetting, all of this. So what they're doing is they're actually perpetuating the exact stereotype that we don't need. I mean, if you want to stop Islamophobia, if there is such a thing as Islamophobia, then prove to people who believe Muslims are bad people that most Muslims are not, which is what we keep hearing. Most Muslims are quite sane, quite rational, quite sensible people who just want to go about their lives, and they believe in what they believe.
See, they don't see it that way, and that's where...
Who doesn't see it?
They don't see it as them speaking out, they're being bad people, or they're being, you know, obnoxiously loud for no good reason.
What?
They're speaking out because they want to... prove against what is being said to them, said about them, to speak.
Okay, I don't know what you're talking about. You made no sense to me. Joey Razdeen cracks a joke on stage. So a few people get very upset.
Mm-hmm.
Not all the Muslims get upset.
Mm-hmm.
Those few people drive the agenda, and then it looks like all the Muslims in South Africa are angry with Joey Razdeen, which I'm sure is not the case.
Mm-mm.
But in doing that... what happens is that it enforces and reinforces the perception that Muslims are a bunch of humorless people who can't take a joke and want to kill everybody.
Okay.
And the minute they get insulted, they react with violence, like the Prophet Muhammad cartoons. You remember those?
Mm-hmm.
The embassies that were attacked at that time. Like any time anybody brings up Islam in the Western world, there's someone who goes, oh, no, don't even talk about that. Let's just pretend Islam doesn't exist, which I think is even more disrespectful, because what you're then doing is you're actually falling for the stereotype. So Joey had to apologize, and then everybody else climbed in.
Yeah, so some Muslim scholars condemned Joey's jokes. Saying things like any Muslim would take offense and would be incensed at at some of the things that Joey Razdeen has said. So, yeah, he then decided, okay, well, then maybe I should just apologize because that's what they want to hear from me. So then I'll just give that to them. But I have a question here.
Yeah.
So people are upset by something and they get offended and they're upset.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why can't you just let them be upset?
Yeah.
Let them be upset.
Why do other people's feelings have to
and
be
then,
something you
And then they'll
to?
Get over it. Like, yeah. You know, because also this thing of people reacting to people who are offended in itself is also like...
stupid.
Okay, but guys, you're doing the exact same thing that you're accusing the people who got offended of doing. You're also reacting. You're also outraged over the fact that they are outraged.
Then it's this like, cycle.
Just let people be upset. And then they get upset, and then 2 or 3 days later, they'll be over it.
But from the moral high ground... Where many stand, you're allowed to say that.
So then 702 got into trouble.
Oh.
Because it was their stupid walk the talk. And they had... Well, I only say that because, I mean... You know,
it was very controversial.
I just hate all of these events that block the streets. Because if you are trying to get somewhere...
exactly.
I think it's really annoying. And it used to be, I think we... When I started it, we blocked one street. And it wasn't even a major route. But I think that these things are a problem. Like, I hate those cycle races. I once got caught in the middle of Joburg. There was no way out because of this dumb cycling race. So I hate these things, but that's my problem. So they, in the middle of their walk or talk, they tweet out a picture of a dad with his little kid, and then they have a picture of a dog being walked, and they say, "Ah, dog versus baby, who's cuter? Go ahead and evoke those broody feelings."
I saw it.
So a lot of people are like, oh my God, are you comparing black children to dogs?
What?
Oh yeah.
Oh.
So then 702 immediately like go into panic mode. And they go, we would like to apologize for our
That's
tweet.
That's what I don't like. Stand by what you've done.
But just say, listen, it was a harmless, meaningless... We're trying to get people excited about our event. We don't care about like you and your issues with whether you're more important than a dog or not. What the hell's wrong with you?
Ugh, but they're never going to say that, which is even more frustrating.
Well, at least they didn't say it was an intern's fault, because that's also popular.
They like to do that.
Lash out.
It's just crazy, right?
Such tricky waters to maneuver.
See, we've spoken about this before, about just what would happen if we were all honest And imagine if even like big brand accounts like this would be able to just be honest and say, you know, screw off. It was
have a sense of humor.
Just calm down.
So it's kind of sad to me that Joey had to apologize, and it's kind of sad that 702 did. And I just think it's very, very unnecessary. We're like, why are we pandering to a bunch of hysterical people on social media who get upset by everything? It's all these regressive leftists who are just looking for something to fight about. They're looking for an argument.
I wish we had more people who really didn't truly care about, you know, some sort of criticism or whatever the case is. Because these apology things, that's annoying. Like why are you apologizing?
It's like, you know? Mabali says, just allow people to be offended and upset. And then that's it. There's nothing's going to happen after that.
Well, the thing is, in the real world, you're always going to upset someone.
Exactly.
It will be through something that you say, something that you wore, you know, people you choose to associate with. There is always going to be somebody who gets upset with the things that you do. Now, can we all just accept that and deal with it? And then when they get upset, then they must get upset, and then they will get over it.
Correct.
But I guess on the other side as well, it isn't exactly the easiest to accept when they literally now, you get a notification, it's in your inbox, you see someone's criticism, you know?
Ignore.
Yeah, sure. It's not important. But now there's a whole new culture of like demanding apologies that people are now getting into.
Yeah, because that makes it feel
special.
Because
that's a new trendy thing.
No, no, then they feel important. Yeah. Like, oh, I got a whole radio station. Or I got Joey Razdeen to apologize to me. Now I'm really important.
Yeah, now I'm a better Muslim.
Yeah. Well, you're not. You're still a douchebag who has no sense of humor. Like humorless people, right?
I think part of the problem here is when you're working in the social media space as well, there are probably still a lot of managers who are still figuring out the game. And when you see brands following the trend of, oh, well, when you fuck up, apologize, then that is what you're going to do as well. And then maybe, you know, in 2 or 3 years, there'll be a completely different strategy in place. But I feel like, you know, social media managers also are kind of walking on these eggshells where they're still trying to figure things out themselves in terms of...
They have no idea.
Well, they don't. But, I mean, it's still new for some people.
But also, those dogs weren't very cute.
No, they chose really ugly looking dogs.
They could have found some nicer looking dogs.
Very bad.
I didn't see that. Okay.
I mean, it would have done a lot better. All right, the point being that you should never apologize on social media, especially to these hysterical regressives. Do not give them any fuel for the fire, because the minute you apologize, they think they've won, and then they keep hammering you. They don't go away. Don't apologize to these people. They're morons.
Also, don't apologize unless you mean it.
Exactly.
Don't like apologize unless stage, it's your spouse.
At this stage, part of people apologizing is because some executive made a call that, you know, well, you should apologize for what you said. And then you begrudgingly apologize, but you don't really mean it.
Nah. Exactly. Mm. It's actually so right, Deb. Like, sports teams apologize for losing. Well, did you do it on purpose? Of course not. So why apologize? Just be less crap.
And also, like, how valuable are these apologies?
Yeah. They're meaningless.
They're just like, oh, shit, you got me. You got me. All right. Sorry. That's what it is. So if you really, if you're moved by an apology like that, you're an idiot too.
I've never had an instance where I personally, you know, even needed an apology from anyone on social media. But it's really as meaningless.
Yeah,
you're done, you're over it, you move on.
I just wonder how have these people been raised by parents who just said to them, everyone in your life is going to be nice to you. Everybody's going to always do things that make you happy. Nothing will ever happen that will make you feel bad. And nobody has any right to upset you. Is that how people are raised? Is that what they're told? Is that how they feel they're entitled to not being upset? I don't think so. It's ridiculous.
We'll never reach a conclusion here.
So Greg says on WeChat this morning, I saw this Joey thing happening over the weekend and his apologies, blah, blah, blah. And I think they need to get over themselves. I think if it was a Jesus joke, it would have been fine.
Yep, also a good point.
But you see, it would have been fine because also Jesus is on Twitter. I mean, true. You know, Muhammad isn't really, no. You know what I'm saying?
Like, he's not Jesus, very technologically advanced.
I follow Jesus M. Christ.
Oh, yes. Even God.
He's funny, yeah. That guy.
Yeah, God is on Twitter, great. Right?
God is also there?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, yeah.
There you go. I wonder if the devil's on Twitter.
I'm sure he is. I don't think he would be left out of this action.
Yeah. Masquerading as Piers Morgan has been going forever.
Bell
Pottinger.
Oh, right.
Roman says, my favorite part of the 702 saga is that the radio station that hires woke Twitter as presenters tells us about our responsibilities and campaigns for social justice causes is called a racist radio station. Collaborators are always shot first in a revolution.
Yeah.
Yeah, now stupid Eusebius has to go on today and go, he works for a racist radio station. That's going to be funny.
He was dealt with a BCCSA judgment the other day. Let me try and find the story.
He creates hostile environments where conversations can't flourish. He just shoots people down and then hangs up on them.
I mean, what did he do? I've been censured by the Broadcasting Complaints Commission many times, but they've never said that I created a hostile environment and didn't encourage debate. They've said I was rude or I was silly or I was, you know.
I've always wondered, do you get like a phone call or do you get like a letter and someone delivers it to you?
No, you the radio station gets an email and they have to make representations.
Oh.
Eusebius. Anyway, can you imagine, like, first of all, I doubt he did walk the talk. He can't do more than 500 meters.
Alrighty.
Second of all, he technically, if you believe Twitter over the weekend, he works for a racist radio station, right? So how's he going to square that peg into a round hole? Anyway, it's just crazy. And everybody just waiting to be upset. Graham says, this is why I love Milo Yiannopoulos. And by the way, Mboro in Zambian language means balls. That pasta Mboro?
Pasta balls. Pasta balls.
Yeah.
Oh, that puts a whole new spin on things.
That makes a lot of sense, though.
Mm-hmm.
And Greg says also, the way Ben mentions his dark world he operates in, he surely refers to the wolves that raised him. Is there any truth in that? The confidence and backing on the Will Smith story is too much. The wolves will protect Ben.
I just don't get how no one else sees it.
My only problem
is... Let's just remind everybody what we're talking about here. Ben thinks that Will Smith killed Tupac.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
Chronologically, look at their careers and look at how Will Smith profited from the fact that someone like Tupac could not become the it guy.
But the two of them were not even in the same lane, Ben.
That's what you think, Mabali.
No, they actually were not.
You're also buying into the hype. Of course there were. There was a need for a rapper slash actor to come through and really grab it. Will Smith did a bit of rapping. He then became a bit of an actor. Tupac was an actor on the up and up. And he was a much better rapper.
You know, some could argue that Will Smith has never really rapped a day in his life.
Yeah, because he was murdering Tupac, so then that should become a problem.
No, I mean, you know, he wasn't rapping, guys. That wasn't rap. Come on.
Look, I would have said maybe it was hearsay, and then the Jada Pinkett Smith, I used to, like, deal drugs. Mm-hmm. That was the end of me. That was when it just became confirmed.
So do you think Jada knows?
Yeah, of course. Totally.
And do you think she's fine with it, given that she was very close friends with Tupac?
Sia, why do you think Will Smith's relationship with Jada Pinkett Smith is so open and this marriage is often scrutinized being loveless? Because Will Smith killed her best friend.
And why would you get with someone who killed your best friend?
It's like a guilt thing. It's like a power thing.
Okay.
Happens all the time in Game of Thrones.
Uh-huh.
Were they just friends or did they have a little... You know.
Well, they hooked up once, but they decided to be better friends.
Yeah, I think they would have hooked up.
All right. Listen to this quickly.
I still have to justify this.
Children are being raised by parents who are scared to upset them. They want their kids to always be happy and satisfied. They fail to either leave or create a hurdle in the child's life to see how well they overcome it. That's from Ryan.
Yeah, it's because the generation prior to that raised kids not giving a crap about their feelings and just raise them hard. So now they want to compensate.
I also think, though, and given that, you know, I know this from my own personal experience, we are raised then to speak out for ourselves, to demand certain things.
And that's good.
That is good, but in certain instances like this, where you go, excuse me, no, not on my timeline will I see such things. Well, I'm going to tweet you, Gareth, and you must now apologize to me. Can you get where that's also an issue?
People don't understand the shared social space.
That's it.
They don't get that you are not the most important person in the world.
So that is why I will demand an apology from Joey.
Yeah.
It's a good and a bad. I don't know how it's meant to coexist, but hey.
So here's a question. This comes from Anonymous. I went to a bride this weekend. The last guy to rock up, apparently there'd been an argument about Wonder Woman. A lady said Wonder Woman was being objectified, and the dude said that Superman was also objectified. What are your thoughts? Sex sells? Too much feminism being shoved down guys' throats? Or is it a question of equal genders, equal treatment?
I think she was drunk.
Who was drunk? She was drinking at a bride. The lady at the bride was just drunk.
I still haven't seen Wonder Woman.
Look, I don't because it's objectifying women, but I mean, that's just my take.
Oh, is that so? Look at you, Mr. High Ground.
Ben is a big feminist. He really is. Don't you remember you had a go at me the one morning for something?
I did.
Yeah, you are. You're a big feminist.
Wow. How did this slip by us? What was this about?
Don't believe a word he says. He's a big feminist. I don't know. I haven't seen Wonder Woman either. If it objectifies, please. You think
what is it about the fact that she wears like tight costumes?
I hope so.
Oh,
it must be because like, what else could it be? Isn't she a tough?
I mean,
ass-kicking superhero who...
She's, like, in charge.
But, like, superheroes all have sexy outfits, whether you're a guy or a girl. Batman's a bit conservative. Spider-Man... But
Superman... Superman is
throwing out massive vibes. His jocks are on the outside. Yeah. I mean, he shows he's up for business.
Massive vibes? I don't think you understand what certain people find attractive, because that little red thing... is far from
you know what?
I'm pretty sure he's saying that's party. Otherwise, he could have used them on the inside.
Listen.
Also, let's also be mindful and aware of the fact that every superhero that's ever been cast has to be good looking.
Of course. Yeah.
So of course it's about objectivity and it is about sex and it is about.
Isn't Deadpool pretty ugly once he got burned?
Yeah, he's got a mask on. He's still got a good body, and some people are okay with that. But like, exactly, Mubs. Look at Professor Xavier's mutants. Even they're hot.
Yeah.
How is it that you're a mutant but your body's like
blue chick?
Henry Cavill is the only Superman I acknowledge, and that's because every time I see him on screen, I want to do things to him.
Yeah.
He is the only Superman I acknowledge.
Right.
Because he's good looking.
Okay. My buddy doesn't care about
things with him. She's not talking about Scrabble and Sudoku.
It helps that he's good looking. It gives me a reason to watch. But, otherwise, but
since,
I wouldn't.
Since when are we so so facile that we think? I mean, would you prefer fat, ugly people to be? Would you like Wonder Woman to have enormous, like, thighs? And not be able to outrun the criminals?
Do you want her to go into a fight scene with the enthusiasm of Mariah Carey?
Yeah. What would you like?
What would you like, woman with a bride?
Must she be a hideous, angry feminist for anyone to actually take her seriously?
That would actually be a decent
Is a feminist. I think, like, Wonder Woman personifies so much about how men and women are equal.
Mm.
Wonder Woman is the hero.
Yeah, and also, Lady O'Brien, superheroes are based mostly on comics that have been around forever, right?
And most of them are written by men, I'll acknowledge that. But that's because men read the superhero stuff.
And men fantasize a lot more than women, I think.
But you know what?
Well, that's debatable.
Well, they create comics because they live in these fantasy childlike worlds.
There's different kind of fantasizing. Women fantasize about different things to men.
Okay.
Oh.
In comics, you're right.
Comics, that's what I meant.
But also, women need to get to a point where they genuinely do not give a shit about what men think about them.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, ladies.
I mean, this woman at the bri, imagine how she's ruined it for everyone else.
No, like, do not give a shit.
All I'm saying is, if I was that actress, Gal Gadot, I would also wear, like, leather-bound, teeny-weeny things.
Beautiful.
If I look that good. Hells yes, I would.
I think
and if me saying that she's beautiful is me objectifying her, then yes, I'm objectifying her. Eat your heart out.
I think also Woman at Bri, who we're speculating hugely on here.
Yeah. Something
happens in this world when you're in good shape, right? And I can talk from personal experience, and I'm pretty sure if you've dedicated a year of your life, or whatever it is, to be in great shape, you're not going to go... You know what? I really want to go buy some conservative clothing.
Mm-mm.
When you're in amazing
you want to show
shape,
it off.
You are looking
you
want to
wear a string bikini in the middle of winter.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yes.
Not because of not.
See, you'd look great.
Not because of vanity. It's almost like you feel like you've earned the right to. So you think Gal Gadot, I mean, she looks incredible. Mm-hmm. Everyone says she's beautiful.
And she must have trained super hard for this role.
If you had to give her a choice of what she would want to wear, she would probably wear the Wonder Woman outfit and ask for a tuck here and there.
Okay, but here's the thing. Women at Bri will now probably say...
Guys, we're going in at this poor woman.
I'm just trying to be in her shoes. She'll probably say, no, but she was told to wear that by directors, male directors, who demanded that she do that.
Yeah, and
God bless them.
Costume. Yeah, and... Yeah, I mean,
then she had another,
God bless those directors. And, it's the only reason I can watch a stupid fucking
and
movie.
And you know what? Superman was told to wear those ridiculous red underpants as well.
Yeah.
Outside.
And so outside. The whole Magic Mike cast as well. Hey.
Yeah, the Magic Mike cast. You, Pella, they were made to wear nothing.
So then what's the problem? I mean, like...
Woman at Bri is the problem.
woman at Bri must go and watch other movies. I mean, is she going to go and retrospectively ban Baywatch for us because there were girls in bikinis who were totally objectified? Come on.
Charlie's Angels.
Yeah, every other movie ever made. And yeah. I don't think you have a right to stop me from enjoying Wonder Woman because you feel she's objectified. You stop supporting it. It's the same as those people on Twitter. What is wrong with people? Like, you don't, your magisterium doesn't extend endlessly.
Ooh, that's a new word.
You don't get to decide for everyone else what they can and can't see and what they can and can't say and what they can and can't think. Who do you think you are?
Magisterium?
Magisterium. It means your aegis, your, the realm of your control and authority.
So my world is my magisterium.
Yes.
I will at least be using that three times today.
Created a monster now.
Step out of my magisterium, please.
Yeah.
I am the ruler.
I think I've created a problem. It was Rolf, someone says. Brandy's... Oh, it's the same person with the Bri woman. It was Rolf. Brandy's were flowing. Dude just moved down with his bard from the farm. Ben, you dig him. Oh, it's Craig in Cape Town. Oh, that chick was a lawyer. And that's what he said about a fat Wonder Woman. So I think that's just an update. People get that... people forget that feminism is the belief that women are equal to men. Not that women are better than men. And then this one comes in. These days, people have a huge sense of entitlement. The world owes them everything, including an apology for everything that offends them. And then it's cut off, but when I grew up, blah, blah, blah. Zolani's getting excited. She's going to join us just now. Zolani Majola from Freshly Ground, who is now doing a theatre production that we're going to find out all about. And do you want some more messages?
We must really ask her what she thinks about Gwyneth Paltrow's upcoming musical. Gareth, you can play those songs again.
All right. If you don't objectify women, all movies will be like Monster with Charlize Theron, which is terrifying.
Aye. Whoa.
Greg says, I think Woman at Bri needs a bag of dicks. Bridget Jones for her all the way. And guys. Graham saying Woman at Bri is a feminazi.
Guys.
Well, I'm just amazed at how people, when they get upset by something, they think everyone else should be upset by it.
I'm loving but this also, now because I want to see how far this will go.
How far will go?
What, Woman at Bri?
No, Woman at Bri's attitude and the likes of.
Yeah.
Oh, I feel a certain type of way. I need to voice it out. Yeah. I'm going to take action.
But not only that. And then I want you to change your behavior to fit my life and my idea.
If all of us did that, what sort of world would we live in?
Stalin's Russia or Hitler's Germany. You're an authoritarian if you think that way.
But if we just ignored all of these people.
Yeah, which we really should do.
Then nothing would be able to feed into the attention that they're seeking. So just ignore them.
It's like women who ignore like sleazy guys who want to pick up on a club. What happens? They go home. Sleazy guys go home. Life goes on.
That's it.
They don't suddenly have to hook up with them.
So we should treat all of these people like catcallers.
Exactly.
And the best thing to do about a bunch of construction workers who whistle at you as you walk past as a woman is to keep on walking. Turning around and trying to educate those construction workers and drag them out of their Neanderthal behavior is not going to happen.
Well, I mean, they also don't give a shit.
No.
Who?
the said construction workers. You right. see, this is the thing.
But they just think with their penis.
No. I mean, I get that, you know, there is a concerted effort by some to try and pull people out of their ignorances. But people do not give a shit either. So what are you going to do? You're going to waste your time. Mm-hmm. You're going to waste your energy trying to change someone and the way that they think. What if they don't care after all is said and done? And 90% of the time, they don't.
When you could just be focusing on your magisterium.
Correct. Yeah. Exactly. All right. What else is going on?
Hey. So China was the first country in the world to use paper money. Did you know that?
Yes. Oh. A long time ago, they also invented paper before the rest of us had started to use it.
Now, centuries later, the soaring popularity of mobile payment has some analysts forecasting China will be the first country to go paperless when it comes to their money. The gross merchandise value of third-party mobile payment rose more than 200% in 2016, according to China-based iResearch. The growth of the cash-free system has been supported by China's rapidly expanding e-commerce market, as Chinese shoppers increasingly shun bricks and mortar stores. A whole lot of stuff gets done online now. So, for example, China's mobile payment market is already 50 times larger than the United States. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Very forward-thinking. So, according to director at China Market Research Group, Bill Cavender, he says, I think it's very possible that China could become the first or one of the first cashless societies in the next decade.
Wow.
Thanks to cashless systems such as Alipay, which was started by e-commerce giant Alibaba, then there's Ant Financial and WeChat Pay, which is built into Tencent's popular messaging service. They have hundreds of millions of users between them, and this is how a lot of Chinese people are opting to make payments for things.
Well, this is great news because it's much harder to you're not going to get muggers and robbers and ATMs. Think about all that crap that happens in the world.
Mm. All that card swapping business, swiping business.
This will make all of that a little bit cleaner.
And ATMs are really unhygienic too.
Yes.
You touch those buttons in the ear.
It's a bad idea. So in Beijing, it is hard to find a product or a service that cannot be purchased with a mobile. At the fresh produce market, stallholders display barcodes on tables, though many shoppers appeared more comfortable with cash. But, you know, at restaurants in the capital, you have some restaurants that simply refuse to accept banknotes. They're just like, hey, what are you stuck in? The Cretaceous era?
Yeah. Why would they want that?
Let's do this via a mobile payment.
Because then they have to transport the cash around themselves, and it's dangerous.
Be interesting to see how the sex industry adapts to this.
You know, there should be apps for that kind of thing at this stage.
Well, go on, build one. You're right. There should be. Build one, Mubs. This could be the answer to all of your dreams.
There we go.
Build it.
Sex pal.
Sex pal.
PayPal sex pal. There we go.
Pay for your sex, and then it's cash on delivery.
Sex scan.
Except that the cash is just transferred from phone to phone.
Well, are we surprised that Sean Spicer has resigned from the White House?
Oh, that's right. That was another fun thing to watch unfolding on Twitter.
The shortest after 182 days as the White House press secretary, he announced his resignation on Friday. He went on to say that it's been an honor and a privilege to serve the President of the United States, President Trump, and this amazing country, he says. And I will continue my service through August. And he also states that he actually wasn't asked by President Trump to step down, but he decided that he wants to give President Trump and the rest of the cabinet a clean slate to work off. I think there's some sort of degree of being human here, Sean. Like, you know, can only take something, and he was finally just like, I'm sorry.
Yeah, he's an idiot from the get-go. Do you remember those press conferences? They were like comedy. It was like a comedy show.
Melissa McCartney had a lot of fun taking on that role on Saturday Night Live, portraying Spicer.
No, but to me, those were actually fascinating. Now I would watch them just for waiting for that moment to go, haha, there's going to be a bullshit moment. Yeah, here. There is, and it did come.
Wow.
Press briefing after press briefing after press briefing.
So part of the reason why Spicer left was because he was also unhappy with a recent appointment that Trump had made. His new communications director, this Anthony Scaramucci guy.
Scaramucci. Well, you give the
pandango. That's exactly what I think when every time I see his surname, I think of that song by Queen. So, you know, it would also seem like, you know, Spicer was maybe just a little bit disgruntled at not having the president consider his little feelings when it comes to this Anthony person. So he was like, that's it, I'm out of here then.
Let me tell you, if you are expecting Donald Trump to take your feelings into consideration, Donald Trump, you need your head read. It's not going to happen.
At all.
He does not care about anyone on earth except Donald Trump.
I think Sean is at least going to take a month off just to drink.
Yeah, Sean needs to take a month or two for drinking.
To drink.
It's not good.
The lies that he had to...
Oh, what an idiot.
The coffee thing.
You feel sorry for him? I don't.
But does he get to, like, claim therapy through the White House budget?
What, for being abused?
Well, yeah, because if you go to war, right, you can come back and you get therapy and you get acclimatized back into society. Now, he needs to be acclimatized back into telling the truth and... That kind of stuff.
Like PTSD.
Yeah. What if he has the PTSD from just being there talking crap?
Very odd. All right. What else do we need to know? Is Rich ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's go to Rich Mulholland. I love this. On a Monday, we get to check in with Mr. Mulholland and we get to find out what is plaguing and bothering him. It's our reality check. Hey, Rich, what's up, dude?
Hey, I'm good. How are you guys?
Awesome, awesome, awesome. You have a good weekend?
I did. It was fantastic.
Anything exciting happen?
I shaved off my beard by accident, which turned out to be a disaster.
Why?
I meant to use the clippers, but I used the wrong setting. So now I'm like Kojak chin, and my children keep on laughing at me.
All right. So last week we got quite a lot of interest in your rant. Every week you have an interesting rant, and I think a lot of people agree with you, and many people obviously don't. But we were just talking this morning about this slew of apologies that were made over the weekend. Joey Razdeen apologizing for upsetting 702 for apologizing for a picture, and just a bunch of really dumb stuff that happened over the weekend. As long as you didn't do any of that, we're very happy. I saw your post about Chester Bennington and the people who want to donate their money from the Linkin Park concert that they would have used for refunds to suicide prevention.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty powerful stuff. Hmm. I think it's the depression. I mean, my father-in-law committed suicide, and I think it's a very real problem that, and the biggest thing for me was how surprised we all were. It was a complete and utter shock. And, it's the kind of thing that, just kind of sneaks up on you. I think everybody is sleepwalking. I think the person who's walking into depression is sleepwalking, but I think the family members are too.
Yeah.
And it's because it's almost a taboo. We can talk about everything, but when it comes to depression, we almost want people to suck it up or, you know, take it on the chin and, you know, man up. We say things like that, which I think are extremely, extremely bad.
Well, if someone had a gangrenous leg and they had to have their leg amputated, you wouldn't say, get over it.
Yeah, suck it up.
Right.
Exactly.
Okay.
You would deal with it, and I don't think we're dealing with that enough.
So what was on your agenda for today?
So, a few weeks ago, I was in Washington, D.C. I've now been 3 times in the last 6 months, and I have never seen the Smithsonian, ever.
Oh, yeah? It's amazing, huh?
Yeah, I feel it's like a travesty, and I was trying to think about why I haven't seen it, and I think I'm onto what the reason is, because you see, part of the reason I'm there is I'm there to do work, and I'm always there on somebody else's ticket, on somebody else's bill.
Right.
Anyway, so we do at Missing Link this thing called Boredom Slayers, where we teach people how to present, and for like it's about 10 people at a time come in. So like we do these courses, we run a few of them a week, 10 people arrive, we do this thing. And for the most part, for every 3 we do, usually only one person might be absent. So out of 30 people, we maybe have one not show. So, and then we do open groups where people can kind of just come by themselves and pay their own way. And when that's the case, when it's not a company paying for them, when it's paying their own way, there is basically 100% attendance.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway. So last week we decided we wanted to start giving some of these away to try and promote and to give to people that maybe wouldn't be able to afford it and things. So last week on Thursday, we opened up one open group. 10 people bought free tickets and only 4 arrived. And then on Saturday, 20 people bought tickets and only 9 arrived. So this is 13 out of 30, less than 50% arrived to get coached, to do the presentation masterclass and training, how to become a speaker, things like this. And I was chatting to my business coach about this on Friday, kind of between the two. And another of his clients owns an advertising college. And one of the kind of ironies was one of the fees must fall leaders signed up to one of his 3 free courses. Mm-hmm. And she didn't arrive for any of the 3 days. So yeah. She signed up for a free course at the college, fees must fall leader, an activist, and didn't show up once. And it's my feeling today that free is overrated. And I understand this is a problem because not everybody can afford education. But of course, I mean, my parents couldn't afford to send me to college at all. I didn't end up going, but I could have got a student loan. And I understand even for that, it's going to be difficult for some people. However, I just don't believe that free is the right idea. And I think part of it comes down to the sunk cost fallacy. Yeah. And I wanted to read you an excerpt from a post I read on You Are Not So Smart. It says this. In psychologist Daniel Kahneman's book, Thinking Fast and Slow, he writes about how his colleague Amos Tversky, through the work in the 70s, uncovered the imbalance between losses and gains in your mind. Kahneman explains that since all decisions involve the uncertainty about the future, the human brain you use to make decisions has evolved an automatic and unconscious system for judging how to proceed. When a potential for loss arises, Kahneman says organisms that place more urgency on avoiding threats than they did on maximizing profits. So the idea, of course, is this is the sunk cost fallacy. So whenever possible, we try to avoid losses of any kind, and comparing losses to gains, you don't treat them equally. And the basic idea is that if we've invested in something, we don't want to lose it. And I think one of the biggest problems is that the more you personally pay to educate yourself, the more you will want to learn. Yeah. So the more invested you are in the education. And a kind of case in point for me was I've been to TED like maybe 5 times now. And it costs 80,000 Rand basically all in to get there. You got to pay for your ticket. You've got to, you know, the ticket itself to get in is expensive. You've got a flight, hotel, all of those things. And when I get there, I attend every single session. There are 70 talks over the course of the week. I attend every single one of them. I go to the evening functions. I go to the pre-day. Because I've spent so much money, I want to extract absolutely everything I can from a knowledge point of view.
Yeah.
And yet, when I don't attend and they put the talks on for free, I maybe end up watching 5% of the 70. And this kind of just tells you it's because I'm not invested. So it made me realize that if I wanted to kind of close the loop a bit here, if I wanted to visit the Smithsonian University, I'd probably have to go to the Smithsonian Museum. I'd have to pay to go to Washington on my own bill. And the problem is because I'm not paying, I'm not invested, and there's no loss of me not getting that value from it. So I think fees must fall is not the right answer. And I know we're kind of late to this party, but I think we need to find a better model and a better way so that we can keep students invested.
This is true for so many other things. What you said was free is not the way. Now, I happen to think that if you get something for free, you don't really value it anyway. And that's how many people feel. But in the case of education, maybe we should stop parents from paying for that education and let, you know, students have to pay it back to someone in their own money. So that they make the decision, they go there, they have to pay for it from the get-go with a waitering job or something else, and the parents don't pay. I don't know. Is that something that you might want to do? Because if your parents are paying for it, you also don't respect it.
So I've been pondering what the right answer is, and I realize the opposite of free isn't fully paid for. The opposite of free is somewhat paid for. Yeah. And if I got my kids, if I said to my son wants to buy these noise-canceling earphones, and we've kind of said to him, if you raise a certain amount of money, we'll pay in the rest.
Yeah.
And I believe that even if he only paid, let's say they cost $500 and he pays $200. Even if he's paid less than half the money, in his mind, he paid for the earphones. He worked, he washed cars, he did whatever it is. And it doesn't matter that the full cost was more. He would still value it. So the idea is not that you have to pay for everything. So your parents could subsidize part of your education, but there should be like a 20% fee or something that you've got to feel like you've paid for. So that if you don't attend, because I don't think you would separate the two. I don't think you would say, well, I'll go to 20% of my classes because I paid for 20% of, you know, the fee, I think what you'd say is I paid 20% of 100% of the education. So I think there has to be a partial model.
Right.
That makes more sense, that you can be subsidized, but only to a degree. And I think that way will keep people better invested.
I like it very much. Of course, a lot of people feel that maybe if they can't afford things, that they should get things for free. Do you think that there's any kind of, you know, there's sort of a middle ground where you can say, well, you can't afford X, Y, and Z, so we'll give you this other thing for free? Or again, do you think even then partial payment is necessary?
Yeah, I feel like people should be invested in anything, in everything they get. There should be some degree of investment where they feel that they have contributed to it. And the only reason is I think that because they value it that way, they will extract more value from it, from almost anything you get. If you get given a car for free, then you don't feel that, you know, if you dent it or you scratch it. But if you work towards paying for that car and you know that you're investing time every month, then you'll look after it as if it's your baby. And right. I really do believe that people need to hand out are not the answer. Help up is the answer.
Very, very good. Okay. Well, that's a good way to start our Monday. Thank you very much, Rich.
Have a great week.
All right. You too, man. There we go. Rich Mulholland. And a look at the reality check for today. Nothing should be for free. What do you think of that?
Hey, it is the truth. The help up, not help out.
Hand up.
Not the handout. There we go.
Yeah.
It's more like the teach a man how to fish, not just give a man a fish situation.
But it is true, like if you get something for nothing, even if it's something you really want, you don't value it like if you'd paid for it. There has to be a value exchange. You have to actually go, I'm going to put some of me into this and get that out in return. If you don't, there's no transaction. If you're just getting, there's no transaction. Very, very, like, it's interesting psychologically how humans work, because we don't look at upset Ben is about this drone. If you got it for free, you know,
so what?
Yeah, but you know how hard you've worked to be able to buy that thing.
I guess that's the psychology behind it, you know.
So I see George Meany from Auto Central says we have a guest from Fiat joining us this morning on Auto Central. Listen in on cliffcentral.com at 10 a.m. today. And don't miss Zolani Mahola, who's coming up next from Freshly Ground, and lots of other good stuff today on cliffcentral.com. And Zolani's sitting outside. She says, I'm ready on the couch for a chat with Gareth Cliff and at cliffcentral.com. Boo, y'all. I'm excited to hear from her. I love her. She's awesome. Get some time to catch up. All right, let's go. Let's get your day going. If I could write you a song to make you fall in love,
I would already have you. This is CliffCentral.com.